Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Winter is my favorite season of the year. There's just something about the feeling of snow falling and holidays that puts me in a good mood all throughout. However, I live in a fairly cold state, often causing tons of snowfall during these winter months. Being a DoorDash driver part-time for almost 3 years at the time, it would make this job much more difficult as the roads would take a while to get plowed, and even when they did, the heavy snowfall would just cover up the roads again. While it made the job dangerous and sometimes even impossible, I still usually chose to drive on days of heavy snow and covered roads. Reason being, nobody else would be out on the road, and other DoorDash drivers would likely stay home, giving me access to a lot more orders and the possibility to make more money. Plus, customers tend to tip more, as they know they're putting you through a lot by ordering for delivery during a blizzard. All was the same that year, and it was the middle of December when a night of heavy snowfall came around. I wasn't able to start deliveries until 7 or 8, due to my other job, but as soon as I was able, I began driving. Like usual, very few cars were on the road, and my DoorDash app was giving me high-paying offers for delivery. I did two relatively quick orders, and was on my way back from a house, before the snowfall worsened. The visibility was awful, and the roads were not being plowed often enough. My car wasn't a piece of junk, it had all-wheel drive and all-season tires, but this snow was really making me struggle. I slowed to a stop sign, and was barely even able to start moving again, as my tires just spun under me. Finally passing through the intersection, another order popped up on my phone. I looked at it for a second, fighting with myself whether or not to do it, before eventually rejecting it and closing the app. The roads were too dangerous, even for me. The specific street I was on wasn't very far from the main town, so my goal was to just get as close to town as possible, hoping that more snowplows had uncovered the roads. I drove slowly, going 20 on a 45. As I rolled through the poor conditions, I barely made out something large in the middle of the road ahead of me. Having been unable to see it until it was too late, I slammed on the brakes, and while my car had stopped in time, the back tires slid behind me and dragged my car off the road and into a thick layer of snow. Thankfully, it was a soft, low-speed crash, but it didn't help the state I was in. My car was completely stuck in the snow now, and I knew I'd need assistance. I gathered myself together, remaining calm and collected, then turned my hazard lights on and took my phone to call for roadside assistance. I gave the man my location, who then said it would take about 15 to 20 minutes for him to arrive. I happily agreed and thanked him. Leaning back in my seat, I was glad I hadn't accepted any orders, since it would make this whole thing a lot more complicated. A few minutes went by, as I just sat there watching the snow fall, before noticing a flickering light in my side mirror. It was hard to see, but I was able to make out that it was an orange light, flashing softly and coming towards me. As it got closer and parked on the side of the road behind me, it looked like a typical work vehicle with the caution lights on top. Looking back at my phone, it had only been 4 minutes since I called, so this guy was really early, but I wasn't about to complain about someone for coming early to dig me out of a ditch. After waiting in my car for another couple minutes, I heard a door slam shut behind me and saw a man walking toward my window. Once he was a few feet away, I rolled it down a few inches.
"Hi, sir. Did you need assistance here?"
he said.
"Yeah, I called a few minutes ago. I just needed help getting back on the road,"
I responded, though it felt a bit weird explaining myself as the situation was pretty obvious.
"Right. Let me see what I can do for you."
The man walked around to the back of my car and began inspecting it, assumingly looking for a place to set up the hook. Now, I've never done this before, but I always assume they attach a winch to your car and drag you out. I had no idea where they attached it or anything, or even if that's what they actually do. The man stood behind the car for a bit, as I watched in the rearview mirror. Then, a sudden rush of cold air shot through, as the man had opened the trunk. I looked back and saw him holding the trunk half open, while scanning the inside of my vehicle with his eyes.
"Sorry,
he muttered, slamming the trunk closed. Again, I didn't know how this process worked, but it was really weird that he randomly opened my trunk like that. I couldn't think of a reason that he'd possibly need to open it for. My suspicions started rising, noticing he was clueless, and I started putting pieces together. I quickly called the roadside assistance number again. A few rings went by as I waited anxiously before the same man as last time picked up. My stomach dropped.
Hey, I'm just a couple minutes away. Did you need something else?
Just then, the guy came back up to my window, telling me that he needed my keys and for me to exit the vehicle for a minute while he prepared it. I kept the phone by my ear, then awkwardly told the guy that I just needed a minute as I was on the phone. He didn't respond, but rather just stood there watching me, as if wanting to listen to my conversation. I was trying my best not to panic. With the guy still next to my door, I rolled the window up. The man immediately began knocking on the window, asking me what I was doing in a rather aggressive tone. I then locked the doors, and as soon as he heard that, he tried pulling my door open and began yelling at me. I was terrified, knowing I couldn't go anywhere. As this was going on, I heard another door slam shut from the truck behind me and saw another man running towards my car with something in his hand. Then, an extremely loud horn blared from behind us, followed by bright lights shining at my car. The two men ran back to their truck and immediately drove away, revealing the roadside assistance truck. Two men got out and came up to make sure that I was okay. Apparently, I'd left the call on, and the men heard what was going on, so they rushed to help me. Also, after notifying the police, I found out that there were multiple cases very similar to mine that happen when we get heavy snowfall. The men supposedly drive around looking for people that are stuck, then steal their cars and rob them while pretending to be roadside assistants. I wouldn't even doubt if they were the ones that put that large object in the street that caused me to swerve and slide off the road. I'm lucky for the way the events played out, though, and I don't think I'll ever drive in bad conditions again. My uncle had offered me to look after his house while he went on vacation with his family in Europe. My aunt and cousin had already left in advance, while my uncle had to finish up some business first. Once he finished everything he had to do, he asked me to take care of the house for a few weeks. He knew how much I wanted to live alone, so he offered me this opportunity to experience it for the first time. He forbid me from inviting any friends over or hanging out in the yard too much. I didn't understand why, but I assumed he didn't want me to walk outside too much, as the large amount of snow that had accumulated could cause an accident. After giving me many instructions on how to take care of the house, he left me a large amount of food in the refrigerator, then left. I must admit that at the beginning, it was actually better than I expected. I didn't feel uncomfortable being alone, and I actually felt I could do whatever I wanted. Everything was going perfectly, until the middle of the night, a noise woke me up. More surprised than scared, I got up quickly and looked around. There was nothing, just the darkness of my uncle's room illuminated by the intense moonlight coming through the window. I looked out the window to see if it was snowing, and to my surprise, not only was snow falling, but it looked like there was a blizzard outside. Surprised, I stared outside, unaware of what was actually going on. I turned around quickly when I heard the same noise come from the front door downstairs. This was the moment my heart started beating faster. I thought possibly something had blown up against the door, but I wasn't sure. I went downstairs, turning on all the lights on the way, and looked out the peephole of the front door. Seeing nothing, I opened the door a crack, trying not to let the cold or snow inside. To my horror, there were footsteps leading straight to the door. I slammed the door shut and locked it, breathing heavily.
"Who the fuck would be outside in this weather?"
I said under my breath, looking around the house as if to figure out what to do next. I ran over to the back door, looking through the glass. It was too dark and snowy to see anything more than a few feet away, but through the snow, I could have sworn I saw a very small person walking away from the house. It looked like a kid, no older than 9 or 10. A brief lightening of the wind allowed me to see more clearly for a split second, and sure enough, there was definitely a kid walking around outside the house. I was scared, but also worried for the small child. I ran upstairs to get my phone, then called 911 to report the kid by my house. I stayed by the back window, looking out into the snowy darkness to see if the kid showed up again, but they were gone. When the cops showed up, I let them know the situation in more detail. We stood in the kitchen as I talked, but were interrupted by a quiet knock at the front door. One of the officers told me to stay here, while they both went to see who was at the door. As the officer opened it, that same child from earlier was revealed. An officer brought the kid inside, clearly worried as the boy wasn't wearing a thick jacket or anything, just a light sweatshirt. The other officer stepped outside, looking around for anyone else, then closed the door behind him as he re-entered the house. The expression on the kid's face was hard to describe, as it just seemed totally blank. The officer was asking a lot of questions, like where his parents were and what he was doing, but the boy barely spoke, and seemed to just be lost, as in, lost in the head, not really understanding what was going on. It was all so surreal, happening right in front of me, yet it didn't feel real at all. What kid just walks around in a blizzard in the middle of the night? Why did he knock on the door? Why was he alone and expressionless? We didn't get answers for weeks. By then, my uncle was back and no longer needed me to watch the house. Of the few words the boy spoke, he had told the investigators that the house I was at, my uncle's house, was where he lived. However, 2 weeks after I found him, another family positively identified the boy as their lost child from months ago. Keeping up with this news, my mind was spinning, but things continued to get stranger. Not even a month later, another missing kid was found sitting in the street in front of my uncle's house while he was on vacation again. Apparently, there's no connection between the two missing kids, but it seems a little too coincidental to me. It made me question everything, like why my uncle wanted nobody over and for me to stay out of the yard. Was he doing something I didn't know about? Why did he leave several days after his family left? Was he possibly keeping people somewhere? Obviously, I could be completely overthinking everything, but who knows? The cops checked the house after the first boy was found, and my uncle was compliant with everything. So it could be a great coincidence of two missing children being found outside his home, or it might not be a coincidence at all. My family and I would go up north to go ice fishing when I was younger. My parents had friends that owned some cabins in pretty much the middle of nowhere. There was a small gas station about a mile away, but after that, it would take about 20 to 30 minutes to see anything else. On our way up, snow was starting to fall, and I just wanted to get settled in and play some games. It was an 8-hour drive to get where we were going, and it would be around 4 p.m. when we finally arrived. It was January, so the sun was starting to set already, and I was pretty tired. We pulled into our cabin's parking lot and started to unload. The cabins had smart locks, so all you had to do was get the code and enter it in. Then it would give you the key to unlock the door. I grabbed my backpack and suitcase and went to enter the code, but I noticed there were already tracks leading up to the door. I told my dad, and he said it was probably the cleaning person or something. I took his word for it and went to open the door. Walking inside, I saw a bit of water on the floor. Again, I assumed it was from the cleaning lady. Other than that, though, it looked fine and just how I remembered. I went to my room that I'd always stay in, and I started to unpack, but when I went to close the blinds on the window, I saw tracks again. It looked like they were coming from the woods and up towards our house, and judging by the snowfall, they had to be fresh. I told my dad, and he said he would check it out. By the time we got everything unloaded, though, the snowfall had gone from sprinkling to almost blizzard-like. My dad said if anyone was out there, they're definitely not anymore if they're smart. He made SpaghettiOs for me and my mom, and we watched a movie. Then I went off to bed. I was awoken a few hours later to a thumping on the wall. It had sounded like it was coming from outside my window. I tried to go back to sleep, but it happened a few more times, and at this point I wasn't even scared, but more annoyed really. I got up and checked outside the window and saw nothing, The snow had let up a bit, so it was easier to see. I noticed the tracks again though, almost the same place they were the first time, coming from the woods. I made sure the windows were locked before going back to bed, as I couldn't really do anything about it anyways. The next day, I told my dad, and he seemed skeptical. We went out there together, and sure enough, there were human footsteps leading from the woods to our cabin, right up to my bedroom window, then to the front door, and then back to the woods. We've been here before, and we know that besides the cabin, there's nothing for miles, and no one ever really camps in the woods, especially during winter. My dad called up his friends and told them about it, but still, no one could really do anything. After a few hours though, they brought over some mini cameras that you plug into the wall and then you could see a live feed of your home. We set them up inside to make us feel safer. It was a hassle, but better safe than sorry. We left for the lake a few hours later, with my mom constantly checking the cameras and making sure nobody else was inside the cabin. When we arrived to the spot, we all left our phones in the car while we fished for some time. When we got back to the car though, my mom had a ton of notifications about the camera sensing movement. My dad immediately called his friend to go check the cabin or call the police. His friend stayed on the line while he went inside the house with some type of gun. After a few minutes of silence, he said nothing was there. I know he should have waited for the police, but my dad's friends are just a different breed. He called the police anyway and explained the situation. We didn't get any video proof though, because the cheap cameras only showed live feed and didn't actually save footage. We stayed with my dad's friend the next few nights, but kept the camera up in the cabin. Sure enough, on the day we were leaving, it sensed movement again. My dad and his friend rushed over there, but again, nothing was inside. But this time, there were tracks leading from the woods to the cabin, the same tracks I saw on the first and second day. My dad thought about following the tracks, but my mom urged him not to. It's a bit eerie to think that someone could have been inside while we were sleeping or watching us from the windows during the day. Nothing ever came of it though, thank God, but it was still one of the creepiest experiences in my life. The next few times we went up there, we stayed in a different cabin and nothing happened. My dad's friend said they never found out what was going on there, and I guess the person stopped coming after we left.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.